Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Our 1 year anniversary, people. For the record, I asked Eddie to cue up the Beatles' Happy Birthday song.
Oh, I thought you said the Minions. I could have
not even close.
I thought you said Minions.
Not even close. And we're through.
There we go.
Wow. Eddie.
I thought you said the Minions.
Drop the ball, dude.
I thought you said Minions.
Beatles.
This kind of sounds like the Beatles if you speed up the record.
Well, happy birthday, Eddie.
Happy birthday.
It's been exactly 1 year. This is
Has it been?
Year
I did not know that until you texted me earlier.
You know, I didn't know it either until I looked at the date. I scrolled through all the dates of our shows, and I was like, oh my God, our last show is July 29th, and today's the 28th. It's been 365
technically,
days.
Technically, tomorrow is the birthday.
No. It's been exactly a year of shows.
Here at LA Talk Radio.
Yeah. Well, there's no other network
matters. There's no...
We were on another network before, but...
There's no B-L-A-T-R before LA Talk Radio.
Yes, exactly. How are you? How have you been?
I've been away. I've been away.
You've been on Goonies expeditions. Tell us, how were your trips?
I was in San Francisco... visiting family.
And that's a wrap.
There's in-laws involved. It's just kids and in-laws.
That doesn't sound like that much fun. But tell me about the Goonies thing you did.
Goonies?
You did Return of the Jedi. You did a Return of the Jedi like tour or something, didn't you?
No, I went to Muir Woods. It's a national park in Nevada, or near Nevada, California.
And that's where Return of the Jedi...
It's kind of where they filmed...
That's awesome.
...Endor. But it's just a national park. But you go in there, you're like, I'm in Endor. This is cool.
Well, yeah, it's not a national park anymore. Come on.
Yeah, so it's Endor. It's the noon of Endor.
I actually saw Ant-Man. I thought about you this weekend because I was like, I wasn't sure if I would like that movie, and it was surprisingly good.
It was okay. I liked it. It wasn't great, but it was good. I liked it.
You know, I read this, I think I either read about it or I heard it on another radio show, that Stan Lee was super excited about this particular character because in his comic strips, he could never show how small Ant-Man was.
Yeah.
So in the movie, he was like super stoked that he's so tiny.
It was cool. It's all the Marvel movies now, it's like even the bad ones are good because they've created such a great universe that everything connects. And so every movie's leading into the next movie.
Now, is Ant-Man supposed to be part of the Avengers? Was that...
Well, Ant-Man was an Avenger. Yeah, but did you stay for the end
of
the
credits? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's going to be in Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
That's pretty cool.
And it'll probably lead into Avengers Infinity Wars.
And did you see the preview for Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, I'm not as big into those.
That, I don't even know why that even... Was that ever a thing? Was that a comic?
Yeah. You never read The Dark Knight?
No.
The Dark Knight Returns? Batman fought Superman? No. That's kind of what they're loosely basing it off of, even though it's all they would have to do is make The Dark Knight Returns just basically based off the graphic novel, and it'd be an amazing movie. But for some reason, Hollywood does a bunch of stupid stuff.
Just like...
No, our listeners
for the comic book hour.
No, it's interesting.
You know, it's pretty crazy. We started this show about a year and a half ago, but we've been on this network for a year, and we started with 1,000 listeners our first month. We had no idea. Minions were a few of them. Minions
are very excited about
it. No, but the coolest thing is like now we're like right under 15,000 listeners, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It must be your chipper attitude.
It's got to be. Because my Twitter followers has gone through the roof.
Has it?
No.
Oh, well, that's because you don't give your Twitter.
At Eddie Pence.
Well, spell Let's it for our listeners.
They don't know how to spell Eddie Pence?
Well, I don't know how to spell Eddie Pence.
Well, they go to the website. If they click, if they're downloading
Well, you
got to
make it easy
right
for them. You got to make it easy.
E-D-D-I-E-P-E-N-C-E.
All right. You know what? He's got to get at least 20 new Twitter followers. How's that? Is that a good number? Hey, I just got to, you know, I got to gong you for that. I feel like a ninja whenever I hit that. So did you have fun on your trip?
No, I had a good time.
Did you? So, did you see any movies? Are you?
I saw Ant-Man. I saw Terminator Genesis.
What do you think of that?
Crap.
Yeah, it was kind of a disappointing.
My expectations were not high to begin with. And then there's only been one good movie in that whole series,
which is the second one. Well, the first one I liked. That's a cult classic.
The first one was still a B movie action flick.
And I mean, a lot of people don't like the Christian Bale one, but I actually like that one. That's my second favorite of the four.
It was okay.
There's four, right?
Terminator 2. Well, there's five.
Yeah, that's right.
Rise of the Machines.
Well, we missed you, man. You were here. You missed some pretty guests. We had some pretty guests.
Pretty?
Yeah.
I heard you're like collaborating with one now or something like that.
For what?
Did you tell me you're like writing songs or something? Doing a songwriting session or something?
No.
Oh, I thought you texted me that.
When did I say that?
I don't know. I do a lot of crystal meth.
It shows. I've seen your teeth.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
My tooth.
Are you into True Detective? Have you been watching any of that? It's a good show.
I hear everybody's bitching about it.
Everybody is bitching about it. The first season's amazing. The second season's like, but it kind of took a turn for like, oh my God, this could be like a good ending.
Really? I don't watch it. I don't watch that or Game of Thrones or...
You got to get into that, man. We got to get you into that.
I just watch Seinfeld reruns. That's pretty much my TV.
Well, that's the shit. That's the best.
The only thing on TV.
You're watching the best of the best.
What you been up to?
I've been writing tunes like a madman, like a little bit. It's been a little bit crazy. But and I've just been I've been learning a lot of music. Actually, I've been pretty excited. I've been learning a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff. And when I was in high school, I first heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan, and to be learning his tunes now, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, to learn his licks and be able to play, I'm like, that's what I've
been... Are you going to play any live shows?
Yeah, yeah. I want to actually do, like, a blues thing for a little bit. All I want to do is, like, blues and funk from now on.
You're going to do
like,
a blues album?
Yeah. I'm going to do blues and funk. Blues and funk.
Blues.
All I want to do is funk.
Flues.
That's right. Flues. Or blunk. Has a ring to it. No, not
blunk. I think flues.
Flues?
No? Maybe flunk.
So has your kid not wanted to see any of the, like, the big summer blockbuster movies?
No, he doesn't.
Is he excited? He's going into first grade, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big one. That's like a big step in this academic career.
It's crazy. I don't know. It's crazy.
Do you remember first grade? Like, I totally remember first grade.
I remember kindergarten.
Kindergarten was kind of a blur. Like, I remember moments. But first grade, I remember, like, almost every day.
It's really crazy because you can tell he's, like, super aware of everything now. It's like everything that's happening now was... definitely going to be remembered. Like, there's no, like, he won't remember. It's like now.
That's
it's
crazy.
Like,
wow. What gave like, you that sign?
Well, you can't walk around naked anymore.
Whoa. Eddie, jeepers.
I'm just saying, like, there's things in the house where it's like, okay, I got to lock doors and, you know, because if he sees what's going to happen, he's going to remember this. It's not like a 2-year-old, like.
Right. This is all a blur.
That's going up into the ether. No one's remembering that.
Is he excited for first grade?
He says he is, but then the first day of school is going to come. He's like, "Man, I don't want to go." But that's what every kid does.
Yeah. Did you get him like a cool outfit or something?
No, I got him an R2-D2 backpack.
That's awesome. Yeah. Were you a little jealous?
Yeah, I was. You were like, I was, because you push it and it lights up and makes noises.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You're like,
it's pretty cool.
I want this backpack.
I might take it from him. I may take it from him.
I just see you sporting around an R2-D2 backpack.
That could happen.
You'd be my hero if you did that. Anyways. It looks like our special guest has arrived,
right.
Mr. Noel Peterson. Noel and I played a show at the Mint a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, man. You're all the way from Arizona, originally.
Originally, yeah. No, I'm originally from Chicago, but then I moved out to Phoenix growing up.
Oh, you're in Phoenix.
I was in Phoenix from like 14 to 27.
Those are crucial years.
Wow. Big time. But I wanted to live in L.A., so, you know, we picked up and made it happen.
That's right. See? I like this. Come to L.A.
Arizona. I go to Tucson about once a year to do shows down there.
Yeah, Arizona's fun. Yeah. It's a cool place. It's hot. So it's not cool.
Super hot. I mean, honestly, but you know what? It's like, it's only hot if you're outside. Like, every place has air conditioning. What I notice about L.A., it's, like, deceptively not always hot, but sometimes it is. But, like, a lot of establishments don't have the A.C. running. So, it's, like, sometimes you can walk into a place and it's even hotter than it was outside, you know? But Tucson, Phoenix, Arizona in general.
You need a pool.
Yeah, if that's, like, Phoenix, the devil's playground. Yes.
But even
yes.
the pool, it sits out in the heat all day, and it's, like, 90 degrees when you get into the pool. It's not even refreshing.
It's more like a hot tub.
It's just now I'm just wet.
Hot tub.
I'm hot and wet.
So tell us how you got into music. Like, what was the big influence or what was the big moment for you?
Yeah, you know, growing up, you know, my uncle, he gave me my first guitar probably at the age of 5 years old. And I kind of always tooled around with it and played around. And then, you know, elementary years, I got into, you know, the band and whatnot. And I always wanted to play the saxophone, but I had an overbite. And my band instructor said, nope, can't play the saxophone.
Why? That completely rules you out?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Couldn't do it. That's it.
So he was just like, you have an overbite.
So yeah. No one with an overbite's ever played the saxophone.
Well, I couldn't.
Damn. I'm going to gong him. Just to gong him.
Why are you gonging him?
Because I don't know if that's true. If you have an overbite, I think, wouldn't that make
it... Mine might have been an excessive overbite. I had braces for 5 years.
Okay. So he was probably like, dude, I don't want to make this worse.
Like a Simpsons character, probably.
You're out there.
Hey, did you see my Simpsons caricature on Facebook?
Yeah, who drew that?
Dude, some girl in, like, Venezuela. Awesome, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I knew you were like, man.
Make her draw one of me.
I will.
Tell her
I'll
draw one of me.
I'll ask her. You got to send me a picture, though. Anyway, we're straying.
Grab one off the internet.
We're straying. All right, so you were in bands.
Yeah, I was.
Were you a little heartbroken that you couldn't play the saxophone? You can be honest.
A little bit at first, yeah, definitely.
All right, can I rub salt in the wound?
Sure.
I actually got to play saxophone for a little bit. But they gave me the tenor saxophone. I was a small little kid, and it was heavy as shit. And so I ended up going to the clarinet. I was like...
Which
you know
is
what?
Very similar to the saxophone.
It is, but it's so much lighter. So I was like, but man, you don't get chicks playing clarinet. That's
no.
for sure. It
At
was
all.
Like, but my dad was just like, I was in the marching band. So it's like, you don't want to be holding that tenor saxophone. I was like, I don't.
But I want to look cool.
I know. And he was like, well, you know, we have a flute or a clarinet. I'm like, give me the clarinet quick. Anyways, so you were a little heartbroken.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, so I got into percussion and then eventually got into, you know, orchestra and whatnot. So, and then I played the kit and I grew up playing just percussive instruments.
Oh, so you started with the drums.
I did.
That's awesome.
So it allows me to throw percussive elements into my playing and whatnot.
Did you play in the marching band?
I did.
So what drum did you play in the marching band? Because, you know, it's like the bass drum, the quads, the snare.
I'm trying to remember the name of what was, but essentially I did not play the snare. So I played kit and orchestra, jazz band and whatnot, and then I played the bass drum.
Oh, the bass drum.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you want to talk about something heavy.
But you have a brace. Like, I used to think it was, like, super heavy, and then I put that brace on. Well, but if you're walking with that brace, it's still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But it's not tuba heavy.
It is hollow.
Tuba heavy
is... That's some serious shit. Like, when I saw the tuba players, I was like, my God, I don't play that. That thing has got to suck. And they would, you know, you do these, like, marching band, like, competitions and stuff, and you're walking for miles. And that's when I was like, thank God I got this shitty clarinet.
Like a domino.
And no one loves the tuba guy.
No one loves the tuba guy. And you know what the funny thing is? Is the tuba gets no love in a marching band because that tuba is the most important. It next to the bass drum. But the bass drum and the drums in general.
I mean, that's what you
like
hear when you hear a marching band.
Yeah,
you're like, it's the tuba.
Yeah, you hear the tuba. Exactly. Yeah. It's like the bass. So the tuba doesn't get any love. You know, a little side note, I opened up for the Roots. You know what the tuba player is called in the Roots?
No.
Tuba Gooding Jr.
Really?
Yeah. All right, add some tuba love right there. Anyways, so you got into drums. You were playing the kick.
Yep. And then all along, I just, you know, I was playing guitar as well. So I got into just a lot of music, started with, like, the Beatles. And I'd wake up every weekend. They'd just beat my dad and my mom. They'd be playing just new music just every weekend.
How does it translate learning? Like, if you were, like, you were... A drummer, basically.
Sure.
How's that translate into, like, Nikhil, you play drums?
I always wanted to play drums. My dad wouldn't let me.
Like, I wonder, like, how, because you guys are both guitarists and good guitarists, like, how different does it make you as a guitar player coming from a drum background?
Yeah, I can't answer that. That's
completely different. I mean, you're not reading notes playing drums.
Because it's a different feel.
Beats.
It's a feel.
Yeah.
Like, drumming, I don't know anything about music, but I always assume the drummer is feeling the music more than anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. The heartbeat.
Well, it's the heartbeat. It's the beat.
Yeah.
It's what everybody's like. Playing too,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
So I think that'd be a little bit strange going from.
But you didn't ask me like how the clarinet influenced my guitar playing.
Because I'm trying to forget about the clarinet part of this show.
Just kidding.
I was trying to help you and everyone else forget about the clarinet part of the show.
Hey, I wear that clarinet with pride.
You traded in the jazz.
The saxophone.
Oh,
man. Thing was heavy. If they gave me an alto, I could have been the world's not so great saxophone player. But it all worked out somehow. So you got into the Beatles. Who else? Who else was like a huge influence on you?
Huge influence. The Grateful Dead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my brother was a huge Deadhead.
Did you go to the shows?
I did not. And my brother, he went to all three of them in Chicago.
Wow.
And
I went to one of them.
I streamed the one in Santa Clara, which was awesome.
I went to the first one. I went to the very first one. It was, I'll tell you, I'd never been to a Dead show. So the first set was awesome. Second set, there was a lot of space jamming.
There was.
And I'm not crazy.
That's when the acid kicked in.
Yeah, like honestly, I was like, and I went with a buddy, and I'm like, we're going to drive up, and we're going to drive back down. You know, like, we drove up and drove back down 5 hours each way. But, man.
After the show?
The Space Jam, yeah. So, like, the Space Jam, we were both like, dude, the first set was amazing. The second set, we were just like, oh, God, this is a lot of
blood. Well, because you were on LSD. If you'd been on LSD at the time.
That's probably true.
You'd be like, this is the most amazing thing.
But it was cool. It was great to be there.
Yeah, they were.
Did you ever see the Grateful Dead live?
I did not, no.
Oh, okay.
I heard all the bootlegs and whatnot growing up.
Your brother went to the final show.
Yeah, all three. You know, he actually went to the final one back in 95 at Soldier Field.
Wow.
And this final one. So.
That's crazy.
The final and the final final.
The final and the final.
The final and
And I thought Trey killed it. I thought
Trey did a great job. The whole band did. The whole band.
They really did.
Slamming.
And, I think
so you got the Beatles, Grateful Dead. Fairly well, man.
Yeah, fairly. Who knows about that? So Beatles, Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd, DMB, Dave Matthews Band. Huge
hell
influence.
Yeah, I got to give that a little shout out for that. Hold on. Damn, I'm so slow with this.
Happy birthday to you.
Really?
Happy birthday.
I'm giving it an applause, Eddie. A little shout out. All right, so who else?
I love soul music, so Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
So that obviously transitioned to me learning a lot of different soul chords and incorporating soul music into my own songwriting. So I'd say my songwriting's all over the board, obviously with all my influences.
That's
so
cool though. That's what makes it
you got to keep an open mind with your influences.
That's awesome. And when did you start playing guitar? Like how old? You said you were 5?
Yes, but I didn't start actually writing music probably till I was about 13 years old, 14.
Okay. You're like, I need to get some chicks.
Yep, that was it.
Pick up the guitar, the kick drum's not doing it for me.
I've got to get out of the marching band.
Which I got kicked out of the marching band.
You got kicked out of the marching band. Let's talk about this for a second.
We pulled a lot of pranks. I can't remember the prank, but I did end up getting booted out at like junior high school.
You got booted out of the marching band. You're kind of my hero. That's awesome. I kind of just like quit after I middle school.
Does it take a lot to get kicked out of the marching band?
Yeah, as the drummer, so, when the instructor's, trying to coordinate 100 people on the field, the drummer's the one making the noises, so, he's just always screaming, drummer, shut up!
Yeah.
Quit hitting the notes!
Yeah,
and that was us. Like, we were playing when we shouldn't have been playing.
Is that why you got kicked out?
Yeah, or probably.
That's awesome. Your parents are listening to this.
I think the marching band would take whoever they could get and keep whoever they got.
Well, I went to a big
You'd be a great marching band leader.
Like, look, you guys are here, this is... We're lucky we have anybody here.
That's pretty funny. So you started playing and writing when you were 13.
Yeah.
Were you in a band in high school or anything like that?
I was doing little side projects then, just kind of, testing the waters and whatnot. And then when I finished high school and through college, I was in a band. And I was actually the rhythm guitar player in the band. So I learned a lot from the singer from the band I was in. And the singer really heavily influenced me to write my own music and whatnot. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I probably had like 3 or 4 songs of my own by the time I moved to L.A. and then just... you move to L.A., you're new.
Wait, you only had 3 songs in the vaults when you moved to L.A.?
Songs, yeah.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
And you were just like, I got to do it. I've written my 3rd one.
It's
time to move to the big city.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see one of those songs right now. What are you going to play for us?
Yeah, definitely. This is a new song called All You Are.
All You Are. I like it already.
So should be recording it soon, hopefully getting on an album pretty soon. But
cool.
Yeah,
sweet. Unreleased. I like that.
Unreleased.
World premiere.
All you are.
all you love. Give me all you got. I'll be forever yours, baby. So give me all you love. Give me all you got. I'll be forever yours. My ways, you know where you're coming from. So give me all your love, give me all you got. I'll be forever yours, baby. So give me all your love, give me all you got. I'll be forever yours, baby. So give me all your love, give me all you got. God, I'll forever yours, baby. So give me all your love, give me all you got. I'll forever yours, baby. Change your mind, and I'm falling into your heart. I want to see your eyes. Everything I want, everything I need. I give all back to you. What we do out with you. All of my time, I'll be good to you. What we do, I'll be with you. All come around sometimes. So give me all your love. So give me all that you got. I'll yours, baby. So give me all your love, give me all you got. Forever yours, baby, yeah. Forever yours, baby. Morning rain is falling. Still some color shifts on the sea. Clouds are shrouding us in moments. I'm gonna get a hold and twist the fit the mold that I am in. Things just get so crazy. Living life gets hard to do. And I'm glad they hit the road and get up and go if I know. Someday it will lead me back to you. Someday lead me back to you. I mean, I know that you are all I need. Darkness, she is all I see. So come and rest your bones with me. Driving slow on Sunday morning, and I never want to.
Yeah, I like the Maroon 5 reference too.
Sneaking it in, sneaking it in.
Yeah, Eddie, you got Eddie's nipples hard.
That was good.
Just kidding. Eddie was like, "Don't say that.
Don't do that. I'm gonna play the Minions again."
You and the Minions. So who was the big influence behind that song? What was the song about?
Behind that song, it's a love song. Of course. Yeah, that's a little, you know, a lot of soul chords right there. So it's a little bit of Marvin Gaye and maybe a little bit of Alan Stone right there.
Nice.
So
nice.
Got into Alan Stone about a year ago, and just the guy's a badass guitar player. So I was like, I gotta learn.
I want to learn all of your licks and all of your chords. That's what musicians do. It's like,
absolutely.
You see somebody that you're inspired by, and you're like, I want to learn all the things that you did, and then I want to steal them to make them my own. Because that's what we do. Yeah. And Eddie's like,
yeah, comics can't do that.
Comics do that.
Let's be honest.
But it's comics like do that.
You got to be more subtle with it.
Well, but they're not. I mean, no, come on. I guess not. Musicians, you know, chords. You can't really keep chords.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can't own a chord. It'd be awesome if you could own a chord. I always want, like, one chord that people are like, oh, dude, that's Nikki's chord.
Nikki's chord.
You know? Perfect. Perfect. That's the one.
That's the one.
I'm going to keep it. How many records do you have out?
I have one record and then a few singles out.
So did you? Yeah. Did your whole band come out here, or did you find players out here?
I found players out here. So I played with a few different players out here, and got a new lineup right now. And I think we're going to play Molly Malone's on August 3rd, October 3rd.
I play Molly
3rd.
Malone's?
Yeah,
nice.
I'm pretty psyched to play it.
Which room? Because now it's like it's different, right? There's a front room.
There's a whole huge side room.
That's the back
room.
But
I assume you walk in and then you go to that door to the left and you just
stage
on the other side.
I used to go to that venue. Did I ever play? Yeah. There used to be no side back room.
Yeah, it was
room.
Just that little
It was just
room.
The front room.
It was packed.
So I played it when it was like that, and then they opened the big room. That was like the big deal. It was like, oh my God, they have another room. But that's a big staple of LA.
It is.
A lot of songwriters play there. It's like it's a cool little vibe.
Yeah, the goal is to play every venue in LA, and I think I've got a lot of them.
I don't think I've played every venue in LA. There's certain ones you're like, I don't think I'm going to do. Like the Whiskey A Go-Go, like I always wanted to play that room because of the doors.
Sure.
But God, every night that I've seen music there, it's like, I don't know if I want to play the Whiskey A Go-Go because I'll be lumped in with these bands that like, oh man, some of them are just, they're pretty obnoxious sounding. But
how do you, like, you just go there and you're like, all right, I'll get enough people in the door and they'll put me on the stage.
Yeah. But that venue is going to close pretty soon.
Is it really?
Soon. Yeah, yeah. They're closing the House of Blues. They're closing the Whiskey. They're, you know, now we played the House of Blues. That's like the club.
Yeah, I'm going to Anthrax on tomorrow night.
That's going to be awesome. I saw it. It sold out, right?
Blue, yeah.
Dude, you're going to be like...
I think it's the last metal show at House of Blues.
It is. Yeah. Well, Steel Panther's playing, I think next Monday.
Are they?
So that's technically
well, that's true.
The true metal
band.
Show. Yeah, that's true. It'll probably be the last sold out show. Let's say that.
But, so Panther doesn't sell out? They gotta sell. They don't sell out anymore. They used to be huge.
Yeah, they used to be huge. used to be huge. I'm kidding. Anyways, tell us, like, what was it like making that transition coming from Arizona to LA? Just with
cool.
musicians and gigging and all that stuff. Do you play with the full band every time, or do you play acoustic?
No, I play a lot of solo stuff. So I played a place in Santa Monica called the Victorian.
They have
the Basement Tavern downstairs, it's an old speakeasy. And I play there about maybe twice a month. So I normally play there just on my own, solo. And then whenever I do the bigger gigs, I bring in a couple guys in. So that's at the July 3rd, for instance.
Yeah.
I played with you.
I toured in Arizona and opened for a guy named Sean Johnson and the Foundation. Great guy, great friend. And his whole band, they were just so gracious. We played like five or six shows with them. And that's how we met. And then he was like, hey, man, I'm coming to L.A. Would you be down to do a bill with me? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I can't have the full band, but I'll definitely, you know, play solo and we'll have a blast. And so the three of us played at the Mint, and it was like super awesome. And big shout out to Sean, because that's how you and I met, man.
Absolutely.
So how is the scene different from Arizona to Los Angeles? I mean, a lot of people.
The scene in Arizona is very much heavily based around Mill Avenue. So if you know Arizona State University, there's a strip called Mill Avenue, and that's where all the music's at. So
the Loft, is the Loft still there?
I do believe the Loft might be there.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I used to actually go see Sean Johnson play over at a bar called Belos, which was downstairs.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a speakeasy. But he was a huge influence on me actually being like, I got to get out there and play some music.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, lo and behold, I become friends with the guy. And he's like, hey, let's play some shows together.
He's a great dude. I mean, he's been in Arizona for a long time too, right?
Yeah,
he's kind of been all over
the music scene.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Like when we went there, it was like, oh yeah, this guy's a big deal. I'm like, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So we've become really good friends, and it's he's a good dude. He's a really good dude. So where else did you play in Arizona?
You know, I didn't play a lot of... Oh, you know, actually, I take that back. There's a place called Bash on Ash, which was a
Bash on Ash.
Bash on
Ash. I like hearing the names of these venues that I have no idea about.
Yeah, there's another place called Boston's.
Did you ever play Raw Sushi? I played Raw Sushi a couple
times.
You didn't
play Raw? No, I lived in that town, though, where Raw
was. I played in Raw. I played the Loft one night. That was, like, our big night. And when we played a bunch of small nights, like, at the Raw Sushi.
Yeah.
And then, like... there was some other, like, brewery. There's a big, famous brewery.
There was Gordon Biersch. There's Four Peaks, which is known
that's
for
it.
Dynamite
that's
beer.
It. That's it.
Chicken
that's
rolls.
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool places to play music. Now, we're, you know, Arizona's very, you know, consolidated in that area. L.A., it's all over. I mean, you can play all over the city. It's a huge city.
And, like, music. People don't know, like, oh, I played in Santa Monica last night, and then I'm playing Hollywood tonight. Those are two different demographics of people.
Sure.
It's two different cities, like, all together. They're not far apart, but it's totally two different vibes. So That's what I love about LA. It is spread out like
that. And another thing, though, the difference between LA and Phoenix is, you know, LA is heavily based on promoters and whatnot.
Right.
So where in Phoenix you can do free shows, you can just right. bring many people as you want. Here it's, you know, heavily based on your draw. And,
yeah, LA is weird goes. Like that. And Eddie they make it really loves tougher. That. he hates that about comedy. Well, it is. I mean, it is. But you can do it without promoters. I actually don't usually do a lot of shows with promoters.
Sure.
I try to avoid them like the plague, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to talk more about that.
That's right. We will. Let's play something off your record. What's the name of your record?
Oh, the record's called Humility. I self-produced it.
Nice.
And, that's funny.
Yeah. So
that's humbling.
Right on. What number are you putting on?
What number? You tell us.
I got 4 or 7 on here.
Yeah, hit up number 7. This song called On My Way.
On My Way.
On My Way.
Yeah.
On My
I
Way.
Like it.
Is on its way.
Thank you. Yeah. Very nice. There's some humility for you.
From the self-produced album, Humility.
I like it. How did you come up with the name?
I don't know. I just like the word.
You're like, I'm going to make.
I was like, you know, I made this. If it's great, cool. If it sucks, then I got some humility.
Well, either way, I like the cover, too.
Thank you.
Is that the moon?
It kind of is. It was inspired kind of by the Band of Horses. They had an album that I just loved. And so I had a good friend in L.A. Just she was a great artist. And I was like, hey, can you emulate, do something.
Can you copy their shit and make
No,
them?
No, it was totally different. Kidding. But I had the vibe, and she nailed it.
Well, it looks like an eye on the cover.
A little bit.
And it kind of looks like the moon. So I was like, that's pretty cool. It's like ambiguous.
Yeah.
You kind of don't want to say what it is so people can make their own interpretation. Eddie, what do you think it is?
I thought at first was a very out-of-focused, up-close shot of a microphone.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I could see that.
It's actually a microphone.
Is it?
You're right.
Is it really?
Yeah. Really? Oh. I was like, wow. It's like, damn, Eddie, you got it.
No,
like,
she actually painted it.
It looks cool.
Wow, she painted it? I thought it was a picture. Oh, I could see, like, the watercolors.
It was originally done on a canvas, and then we just, you know.
Okay.
Scanned it, and boom.
So, when are you playing Molly Malone's?
October 3rd.
Oh, dude, that's like, well, actually, that's like, what?
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm playing a place.
They booked you 3 months away?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, how about June 15th, 2017?
Yeah, July 2019.
So you're saying you're playing October 3rd?
And then also on August 29th at the Victorian in Santa Monica.
Okay, that's close. So there we go. I like that.
Yeah, so I play from 6 to 9. It's going to be awesome. So this place is a total jam band place. So from 6 to 9,
really?
They get...
Wow, really? Never heard of this.
Oh, you got to check it out. So 6 to 9, it's music on the patio, killer happy hour, and then music goes on upstairs, and it's usually like some Grateful Dead Fish-influenced band. Then in the basement is just hard rock. So check it out. Next time I go, I'll tell you.
Where is that? I don't
it's
even
right
know
Main Street.
Main Street?
Yep.
I know, what next to what? Like, tell me something that's next.
Next to the beach. Oh,
damn. Next to the beach. You must be from Arizona. I'm just kidding. No, I'll check out the Victorian, August 29th.
August 29th.
Sweet. I like that. What are you going to play us now?
I'm going to play another new song.
Yeah, let's hear it. What are you going to play us? What's it called?
This is a song called By Your Side.
By Your Side. I've got a song called By Your Side.
Do you really?
Here's By Your Side. No abuse.
I know you go is where I wanna be. Wherever you are, I'll go with you. By your side, if you fly, I'll be always underneath you to catch you when you fall. I'll lift you up, I'll take you there. Feel your arms around me, around me, around you. Let me lift you up, let me take you there. I'll be fully all about you, baby. Let me lift you up, let me take you there, baby. I fall into your arms, you always catch me when I fall. I'll lift you up by your side. By your side, feel your arms around me, around me, around you. Let me lift you up, let me take you there. I'll be fully all about you, babe. And let me lift you up, let me take you there. I'll be always all about you, babe. And let me lift you up, let me take you there, baby. Babe, I'm falling in love. I won't be long, and I won't believe. No, I won't be free. Free without your love, free without the hope that you want me. You want me, baby, can I feel your arms around me? Around me, around you, let me lift you up, let me take you there. I'll be fully all about you, baby. Let me lift you up, let me take you there. I'll be always all about you, baby. Let me lift you up, let me take you there. Yeah. Baby. And I won't believe, and I won't be long, I won't be free. Free without your love, free without the hope that you want me. Want me, baby, let me lift you up, let me take you there. Be always all about you, baby.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Let's talk real quick about your guitar. You must be a huge Dave Matthews fan. You got his same guitar, right?
A Taylor 712.
That's right. Actually, he plays a 714, one, actually.
Yeah, 712. I bought this about 10 years ago.
Great guitar.
I love it. I'm ready for my next one.
What's the next one going to be?
Probably another Taylor.
Okay.
Maybe something like a Sunburst of some sort. But I'm also leaning towards a Gibson.
So the cool thing about... Yeah, those are great guitars. Eddie, I'm going to give you a little lesson on guitars. The cool thing about Taylors... They have a number system, and each number system, like they have a 300, a 400, a 500, a 600, 700, 800, 900.
Sure.
And each number represents the woods that are on the guitar. So, like, the 700 series has rosewood on the back and sides, and I think it's a cedar top, right?
Yep, correct.
And it's got, like, you see the little koa inlay on the around the sound hole?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got an ebony fretboard. Like, it's cool that they devised a system to... basically, you know, distinguish one guitar from another. And the 712, the 700 series is all the specs that I told you about. And then the 12 is the size of the body. It's like a little bit of a smaller guitar.
Correct, yes.
Right? The 14 is a little bit bigger, right?
Big one. Big boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of a little guitar.
What sound is the difference between the big and the small?
You know, I'd say the big one, so like the 14 series, for instance, 714, 814, it's very deep, very big. So this is more for live... you're going to get more treble out of this one versus on a 14 series. You're going to get a lot of bass.
And also the woods, like, they age pretty well. And, like, he's got, like, a denser wood on the soundboard, the cedar, whereas most guitars are made with spruce, which is kind of a brighter sound. So he's going to have a darker sound with that guitar because of the woods. But that's actually one of my favorite series of the guitars. That's why I had to ask. I'm like, man, you must be a Dave Matthews fan.
So do you play a Taylor as well?
I don't. I actually play a Martin. I love Martins. And the next guitar I'm going to buy is going to be a Goodall. Have you ever played a Goodall?
Yeah, I have.
Dude, those guitars are incredible. But I love all guitars. I love Taylors. I love Santa Cruz. I love them all.
The goal is to get 20 guitars.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, I've been getting more into electrics so much. That I've just been buying more electrics, but I need to buy like one more. I need to buy at least one more acoustic. It's tough. It's like you can never stop. See, you're lucky, Eddie.
I have no idea.
You never have to buy like a microphone that you're like, oh, this microphone makes me sound so
much
better.
I just buy pens, different types of pens. Oh, I like the grip on this pen.
You're like this. You don't have any. Well, wait a minute. Hold on, just a second. You walk into Eddie's house and he's got WWF characters everywhere.
I used to.
The stuff that you
That's in the garage now.
What?
Well, because I got a kid. My man cave is gone.
Dude.
It's turned into a kid's room.
That's tough. That must have broke your heart.
It wasn't easy.
Now.
It wasn't easy.
He's got like a WWF like championship belt. And
I have several of them. they've changed throughout time.
I love it. Well, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't like stick up for the belt. You know, like
you talk to a pregnant woman about keeping wrestling belts in the house. See how long that argument lasts.
That's a losing battle right there. So where are your next shows and how can people find you? Give us all your Twitter and
websites. August 29th, Victorian, come out. It's actually a free show. So I'll be playing solo acoustic and then I got a couple more shows.
Santa Monica?
Correct. Yep. And then with Mind Loans again on October 3rd. You can go to my Facebook at facebook.com/Noel, N-O-E-L, music. You can go to instagram.com/Noel Peterson Music. And then Twitter, Noel P. Music. So
it's interesting. We're like... It's really cool when people have different sign names, but it's hard for everybody to keep it all together.
It is.
And then it's the rare artist that has like, oh yeah, I have John Smith is my name, and I happen to get all of the Instagram, Twitter, and blah, 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 blah.
Mine,
do you have all of the
Eddie Pence on everything.
You must really? Have them all. Mm-hmm. And you must have all the Nikhil Kirillis.
Seriously.
There's only one in the world.
Actually, funny little story. There is another artist named Nikhil that I found out the hard way that we couldn't use the name Nikhil because who the hell would have thought there would have been another artist named Nikhil? But it happens. But yeah, now it's Nikhil Kirilla Band, NK Band. That's easy for people to
Sounds
remember.
Good.
So what's next for you? Are you going to do another record soon? Are you going to tour
absolutely.
For a while
so,
on this?
No, I've got a four-song EP probably coming out by the end of the year.
Oh, so you're working on it right now?
Correct, yeah.
Full band? Same thing?
Actually,
acoustic?
This is a solo acoustic project.
Nice.
And the next project after that is going to be about maybe 10 to 12 songs full band.
So what inspired the acoustic project?
It's easy for me to do myself. That's
you're
why.
Like, this way I can make it cheaper.
Yeah.
Path of least resistance.
I built a home studio, and every moment of free time I get, I try to get in there. But it gets a little daunting, you know?
I did a record at Sun Studio.
Sure.
And I didn't bring the whole band. I did it all solo acoustic. And it is daunting because it's just like usually when you have a band you have people that you can kind of like lean on.
You can blame other people.
Yeah, you can blame
this
other
sucks
people.
Because of you.
And no, it's not that you. But it's there's power in numbers. And
there
when
really
it's just
is.
You,
there's blame
it's
in
like
numbers.
It's just you.
There's
yeah.
blame in numbers.
There's blame in numbers too.
Yeah, you can finish a project much faster with many people involved. So
that's true.
You know, the next project I want to go in just go in, lay down the guitar licks and the vocals, and then let someone take care of all the mixing and mastering.
Oh, that's the fun part.
The mixing's not so fun.
The mixing, you know what? You'll learn to appreciate it. Because now I don't want anybody to mix my records. I'm like, nah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right.
Sure.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, I've been there. Like, we're like, God, oh, this is...
The beat detecting. And...
Yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much. You got to work with a producer that knows what they're doing.
Absolutely.
That helps. That definitely helps. And he's like...
I remember I tried to mix that one...
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I had Eddie mix a live show for us cuz we had video footage.
Sure.
And dude, like I'm meticulous with like things I hear and I drove him nuts.
Oh, I was like I'm like every time someone says mixing, I get like I get a little nauseous. I'm just like, oh.
He throws up a little bit
it's
every
just
time.
So
but you know what? You made that video sound pretty good, man.
We mixed it on a video editing program.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't even a sound program.
That's right. I remember that. That was
a
pretty
nightmare.
Brutal.
It only took a year and a half. I think my wife was pregnant and we finished. It was like my son was almost two.
You know what? Do you know the Rialto in Arizona?
I do. Yeah,
so we played the Rialto.
Great venue.
And we played in front of like 700 people, and they happened to do this 3-camera shoot. But it was so funny because we would cut to one camera, and there'd be like the guy was just like out to lunch.
Yeah.
He'd have the camera like up on like the lights, not even on the band, and then another camera would be like wobbling. So we're like, dude.
But the picture cut was simple. Like,
yeah,
we got the picture cut.
Yeah,
was
that was
the
done real
picture
fast.
Picture cut was done fast.
That's because out of one of the three cameras, there was always
the
one that
was
working
up.
Right. Oh, man, that was pretty. See, Eddie, you're going to cherish those days. And
no,
you know what?
Absolutely
you know what?
Not.
You know why those days were great? Because that brought us to this point. We developed our rapport. Yeah,
absolutely.
See? And now we're a year in. We got our own radio show. We got 15,000 listeners. Come on!
Still, I can't. The word mixing makes me nauseous.
So Eddie is available for live mixing.
No, absolutely not. I don't mix anything but brownie batter.
at eddiepence.com.
At eddiepence.com.
I'm just kidding.
20 followers to prove that we have 15,000 listeners.
Noah Peterson, you've been a wonderful guest, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Once again, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and all your handles.
Absolutely. Facebook.com/NoelMusic, N-O-E-L Music, then Twitter.com/NoelPMusic, then Instagram.com/NoelPetersonMusic.
Do you have a website?
I do, and it's NoelPetersonMusic.com.
And you can
spell it.
Yeah, NoelPetersonMusic.com.
What are you saying, Eddie?
But you can get all your... There's like a launch pad for everything. You can find all your other stuff from the... Just go to the website, and you'll find all the
and
links.
And your stuff's on iTunes and Amazon or any of that stuff?
I got a lot of music on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Pandora.
Nicely. Right on, Noel. You've been a great guest, man. You were awesome, and we hope you come back in another year and let us know all the wonderful things that you're doing, man.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And you can play some of those acoustic tracks, and Eddie will be booging, and his nipples will be hard. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They're always hard, though.
On behalf of Eddie Pence, I'm Nikki Carulla. Thank you very much for supporting us for the last year. Here's to many more years. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.